Day 461, Friday, July 5th. Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, 122 NKJV. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. People bow down, and each man humbles himself. Therefore do not forgive them. Enter into the rock, and hide in the dust, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful sloops. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks, and into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Sever yourselves from such a man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? Daily Deep Dive, the UCG Reading Plan states, one of the other contemporaries of Isaiah and Hosea is Micah. The well-known passage that begins Isaiah 2 is repeated in Micah 4, although Micah adds another element, as we will later see. The prophecy in both passages concerns the establishment of the mountain of the Lord's house. Isaiah 2, 2. Though at times literal, mountains in prophecy are often symbolic of kingdoms or governments. Compare Daniel 2:35, Daniel 2:44. The mountain of God's house being established above the mountains and hills thus represents the kingdom of God taking control over the kingdoms and smaller nations of this world, when a voice in heaven will announce, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. Outside the United Nations headquarters in New York stands a famous statue of a man beating his sword into a plowshare. Indeed, swords to plowshares is a popular UN motto, but the international organization has not really even begun to recast the world's implements of war into farming tools or other peaceful equipment. In fact, as much as ever, the world is frantically beating plowshares into swords and pruning hooks into spears. Joel 3:10. The efforts of a wayward mankind will not bring about world peace. Rather, as Isaiah later attests to God of Christ's return to this earth, Lord, you will establish peace for us. Isaiah 26 hours and 12 minutes. But it will not come instantaneously. Rather, as Isaiah 2, 4 and other scriptures show, compare Zechariah 14:16-19. It will take some time to break the hard-hearted recalcitrance of humanity, yet it will be accomplished, from the Messiah's future throne in Jerusalem, which will be the new capital of the world. The word of God will be proclaimed to all the earth, Isaiah 2, 3, including the law, God's law. Most of modern Christendom holds to the inconsistent and incoherent teaching that God does not require obedience to his laws in this age, in spite of the myriad scriptures showing that Christ confirmed, amplified and emphasized these laws during his earthly ministry and that he will enforce them throughout the entire earth after he returns in power and glory. There is a constant shifting in Isaiah between the problems of the nations due to their wickedness and the promises of the glorious future that will occur once God has corrected the problems and mankind as a whole is taught to live by his laws. While chapter 2 begins with the description of peace to come, it soon returns to the chastisement of Israel for letting their wealth, military might and idols fill them with pride, for which God will humble them. Verses 5:22. Indeed, two major recurring themes in Isaiah are how disgusted God is with the proud and lofty and his abhorrence of oppression of the weak through might. The arrogant and tyrannical of this world are in for a rude awakening. They will be brought low and humbled when the omnipotent God arises to shake the earth mightily. Verses 19:21. Godly leaders use authority to serve those under their charge, just as Jesus later taught the early leaders of the Church of God. And